In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. On this third Sunday of Eastertide, we hear the gospel reading and we've not even moved on from Easter Sunday. And in fact, most years, the first three Sundays of Eastertide, they focus on what happened the day of resurrection. Easter morning, afternoon, and evening. These are the stories that are given us from the Gospels. They're given by our church across 3 weeks, though not in that order, actually. Easter Sunday, we heard the morning story, the earthquake, the empty tomb, the appearance of the risen Jesus to the women leaving the tomb. Last Sunday, we heard the evening story, and today we hear the story of Easter afternoon. Sunday evening is the response of fear. The disciples locked themselves behind closed doors, fearing they might be next on the cross. But Sunday afternoon is the response of flight, fleeing Jerusalem in sadness. Cleopas and his friends, they will make their way along the Emmaus Road, but know this about their departure. They were present when the women returned from the empty tomb, announcing Christ's resurrection. Only Peter and John ran to the tomb to see for themselves. Luke tells us the remaining disciples, Cleopas and friend included, they believed their report an idle tale, a nonsense story. And so Cleopas and his friend, they began walking to Emmaus. Now, why Emmaus? The most likely reason is that Emmaus is home. And that fits with other responses of disciples in the days that follow Easter. Remember Peter saying to the Galilean disciples not long after Easter Sunday, he said, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We're coming too." On Easter afternoon, something moved within Cleopas to say, "I'm going to Emmaus." Probably because Emmaus was home. And his friend said, "I'll join you." Emmaus is 7 miles from Jerusalem. There's something about a journey on the road that inspires Luke more than it did other gospel writers. Mark, he gives this story 2 verses, which is actually more than Matthew and John, who don't even record the story at all. And Luke's story of the Emmaus Road, get this, it's twice as long as his Easter morning story. But this is Luke, who is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the same evangelist who penned the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the prodigal son, who gives us stories of characters in dire situations. He cannot complete his gospel without the story of the Emmaus Road. Now, biblical scholars have it right. A 7 mile journey would take about 2.5 hours. So sometime after the morning hours, Cleopas and his friend, they've heard the account of the women from the tomb. And then in the world they inhabit, a world without artificial light, we can surmise that Cleopas does the math and says, if we leave now, we can make it to Emmaus by evening. There's certain moments in life, whether with family or friends, where there's only one topic of conversation that's possible. That topic being, what just happened? Right? Such is the Emmaus Road on Sunday afternoon. There is only one conversation possible. And that's all the things that happened the past 3 days. This is what we do when we grieve. We try to make sense of things to find some understanding after our world has ended. How do we live? What do we do now after all these things have happened? Of all the lyrical sentences that Luke wrote in his gospel, and there are several, this one may not get your attention first, but let this one still be written on our hearts nonetheless when Luke said, While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. In the sequel to his gospel, Luke quotes Peter. This is Acts chapter 10. When Peter preaches a sermon about the resurrection and he says, God raised Jesus of Nazareth on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses. Of all the places our risen Lord Jesus could have gone on Easter afternoon, of all the people, all the disciples he could have pursued that day, he chose Cleopas and his friend, walking the way to Emmaus. He comes in the appearance of a stranger, another visitor to Jerusalem, their eyes veiled from recognizing the Lord on the road. But take heart in the gospel news. Christ chooses Cleopas and friend in their flight, in their mourning, chooses them in their trauma. See on the Emmaus Road a retelling of the parable of the lost sheep. Here is the good shepherd seeking his sheep, separating themselves from the flock. Jesus himself, the good shepherd, drew near and went with them because he lives to fulfill Psalm 34, that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. And yet the Lord does not deliver them from their sorrow all at once. His ways are not our ways. Even still, he has drawn near. Just this mere question, what conversation is this? That causes them just to stop in their tracks. Luke says they stood still, like statues. Statues looking sad. As they keep walking, Christ draws out their pain. They continue walking. He's listening to their story. Cleopas opens his grief to the Lord, though the Lord is hidden from his eyes. And yet, intertwined with Cleopas' story of all that has happened, it is not only grief, it is also unbelief. Grief intertwined with unbelief. What kind of conversation are you having along the road? St. Gregory the Great said of Cleopas and his friend that it is a conversation of talking about Jesus but not believing in the risen Jesus, of loving Jesus and yet doubting his resurrection. And so we hear this despondent statement from Cleopas. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Which means that in Cleopas' mind, Israel is still captive, still imprisoned. He tells about these rumors of the empty tomb, but it's clear he's heard the report. He does not believe that news and has dismissed it as that idle nonsense tale. He began walking away from the empty tomb, leaving Jerusalem. The tragedy of Good Friday, of suffering and death, that is what's real for Cleopas. Cleopas speaks in the past tense about Jesus. We had hope that he would redeem Israel, but he didn't. Best come to terms with that. This is the captivity that pain and death hold over us as death masquerades to be all-powerful in our vision. It seeks to be final, ultimate, to appear inescapable, to have the last word. Cleopas has witnessed tragedy, yes, but he's also dismissed the word of resurrection. Cleopas grieves and he suffers, and he's also much too sure of himself that he sees the world as it truly is. He's much too sure that he sees things rightly. And on the road, Cleopas becomes Jesus' interpreter about reality, not realizing what he's doing. Cleopas cannot see Christ in his midst because he's blinded by his unbelief. St. Augustine says that they were walking along dead with Christ alive. Augustine goes on to say, the repenting thief who died on the cross next to Christ showed greater faith than the sorrowing disciples of the Emmaus Road. And so Augustine cries out to them across the centuries, oh, my dear disciples, if he was the one that was going to redeem Israel, it means you have defected. But he has reinstated you. He did not abandon you. By becoming your companion on the way, he himself became for you the way. Christ drew near and went with them to deliver them, not only from their sorrow, but to deliver them also from their unbelief. And here's the critical moment on the Emmaus Road. It's the critical moment that comes to each of us in our hour of great suffering. And that is the confrontation with unbelief. Christ is neither insensitive nor uncaring when he speaks a gentle rebuke to the Emmaus disciples. He speaks truth to save their souls and then leads them to his light when he says, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Think of this. How much did they know the Scriptures in their lives? How often had they heard Jesus teach the Scriptures over the past 3 years? We don't know for sure, but it's plausible to think these disciples, they heard much of our Lord's teaching before they reached Jerusalem and Holy Week. Maybe they heard Jesus teach in sermons and parables along the Jericho Road, making his way to Jerusalem. But those 7 miles that are leading to Emmaus, that's a real different stretch of road. And now comes the catechesis along this final leg of the Emmaus Road. When Jesus walks our disciple friends through Moses, through the Pentateuch, walks them through all the prophets of the Old Testament, and interprets back to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. My brother and sister, when we are in pain, we need the truth of God. And that means catechesis. It means instruction in the faith. But it's a catechesis of a very different sort. We need the catechesis of the Emmaus Road. In other words, not information, not classroom learning, not memorized religious verbiage. We need the resurrection of Scripture in the heart. We need the Word of God reviving my dead spirit with the light of the Gospel. That's the catechesis of the Emmaus Road. Send out your light and your truth when we find ourselves walking the Emmaus Road, Lord Christ. Bring us to your holy table and to your dwelling. And that is precisely where the Emmaus Road journey ends. At a table. A table, mind you, that may well have been Cleopas' home. Which reminds me of T.S. Eliot's verse from Four Quartets. And the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. This is how I know the Lord. It's the Eucharist. That's when he opens my eyes. This is what's really real. Not a world that has ended on Good Friday. This is what's real. It's when the risen Lord takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to feed me. It's not only how I know the Lord, this is how I know myself. It's the Eucharist, the body of Jesus Christ, taken, blessed, broken, given to me. This is how I make sense of all that is past, of all that is happening right now, of all that lies before me. It's the Eucharist of Jesus Christ. I am taken. I am blessed. I am broken. I am made new to be given away. You will know Christ in the breaking of the bread. You will know yourself when He draws near to you on your Emmaus road, when He opens the Scriptures anew and then brings you to a table where you break bread with Him, the risen Christ. As Anglicans, we are fond of saying that every Sunday is an Easter service, that every service is a service of resurrection. Well, let it also be said that every liturgy here is an Emmaus Road liturgy. We need the Emmaus pattern in our liturgy and in our lives. One of the greatest symbols that we have in our Anglican liturgy is when the gospel comes and descends into the nave. It is Jesus Christ drawing near and walking with us. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, and yes, even in the midst of our temptations and of our sin, we hear the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into our midst. And as we continue walking, we reflect upon the story, the good news that we have heard. In the midst of the sermon that we have every week, we interpret Scripture in the light of the incarnation, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation. That's how we hear it. Because this is reality. We interpret all Scripture with this truth. But it's not Scripture alone we're seeking to interpret. We want the Scripture, the Gospel, to interpret us. Not the other way around. So if Christ said, all the Scriptures testify that He had to suffer, die, and then be raised again, this will be the pattern of the gospel in our lives too. We will know suffering. We will bear our crosses. But that's not the last word. We will experience resurrection life and resurrection joy because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That is the Emmaus way in Scripture. And it is the template for our lives too. And our liturgy is not a liturgy for mind, the mind alone. We do not depart after the sermon to live by our intellect alone. The ministry of the Word is only half of our liturgy. Our ancient faith will not leave us seated in the pews. When the Holy Spirit opens the Scriptures, when our hearts burn with warmth and hope and joy at real good news, it is leading us to a table, this table, that is beyond words. It is the place where the eternal Word of God, become incarnate in Jesus Christ our Lord, appears again to us in bread and in wine. See, the altar, this is the place where our eyes are opened, where we see clearly. This is the place where unbelief meets its end in the breaking of the bread. There's something about taste and sight that go together because of Easter afternoon and because of Emmaus. And it was there in the Psalms for centuries. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it was fulfilled on Easter afternoon at the Emmaus table. It takes the grace of God to see the glory of God. The grace of God to put my unbelief to death. And then when the grace of God comes, it's not something to be comprehended with mind alone. It's a truth to be tasted. The grace that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses words. So be changed. Be transformed without words. With the gift that's beyond words. And which is yet the Word of God incarnate given for you. And having journeyed all this way, arriving where we started, knowing the place for the first time, in the words of Eliot, we neither stay in a pew nor remain kneeling at this altar. The Emmaus Road is a highway with two lanes. Two lanes. Read the story closely and you'll see the Emmaus disciples seem to have covered not 7 miles, but 14 miles that first Easter. For Easter in the afternoon, when it led to Easter evening, when it led to the Eucharist there, the return then that followed was joyful disciples going back to Jerusalem. Even with a day far spent, evening at hand, the Eucharist received direct from the risen Lord, the darkness was no longer dark to Cleopas and his friend, for the Lord God made their darkness as bright as day. So back to Jerusalem they go on the Emmaus Highway. Those who have tasted and seen the glory of God, they must go to seek others who are frozen and locked up in fear, who are standing still and looking sad. We comfort others with the comfort by which we have been comforted, with the real truth that Christ is risen, with the truth that He reveals Himself evermore in bread, bread that is taken up, blessed, broken, and given so that He might turn all of our mourning into dancing and all of our sorrow into joy, and all for the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.